So I'm going to talk a little bit about the spiritual faculty of virya. Which Bhante talks about as vigor, energy in pursuit of the good. So this is energy applied to the goal of nirvana, the goal of awakening. So energy applied to our practice, rather than particular sort of worldly aims or goals that we have. Though, of course, there may well be some correspondence. But it's energy in pursuit of what's beneficial for our practice and what's beneficial for others. So the helping others, Bhante links to the objective aspect of right effort or virya. And the subjective element he links to, we apply it to our own mental content. And it's particularly formulated as right effort and the four right efforts. So eradicating unskillful mental states, preventing the arising of unskillful, not yet arisen mental states, maintaining skillful states that are already present, and bringing forth skillful states that haven't yet arisen. So how does this relate to what we're doing? Because to my ears it sounds very active, doesn't it? It sounds like it takes quite a lot of energy to eradicate the unskillful, prevent the arising, maintain the skillful, and bring forth. But actually, it is compatible. I think it is compatible. The larger aim of the four right efforts is to eliminate states rooted in greed, hatred, and delusion. And to cultivate skillful states, all skillful states rooted in generosity, love, and wisdom. So there are different methodologies to doing this. And something that is quite receptive, if you like, it walks a middle way between suppressing and or indulging experience. So it uses awareness to walk that path that's able to see clearly what's happening. And seeing clearly with a mind that has skillful states in it. So mindfulness, clear seeing. These are skillful states. And so when we're able to, when we notice unskillful states, they're diminished often by the presence of right view and right mindfulness. So this clear seeing or vipassana with awareness diminishes the unskillful and it diminishes suffering. If we're able to notice what's arising with this, what we talked about this morning, with this wise detachment or wise involvement. And often our unwise involvement is about trying to make something go away. Replace it with something that feels better. So we're not doing that. We're just looking to stay with, to be with what's happening. It takes a certain amount of courage to learn to be with experience without sort of jumping into either of those two reactive modes. When what we're with, what we're able to observe or notice, be aware of, is a skillful mental state, one that's helpful on the path, then our awareness of it allows it to flourish. It encourages it to open out, to grow. So that's the way in which this more receptive allowing method can help. Sometimes if it sounds oh well, it couldn't do very much good. I think we can confuse it with the indulging end of the pole. We're just letting things happen in a way. We're not doing anything about it. But actually, we are doing something by allowing the mind to stay with what's happening, by encouraging, reminding ourselves, can I be aware of this? Is awareness present? How am I relating to this experience, this mind state? Can I be simply present? There's a lot of power in that, in the simplicity of non-reaction. And we can't always not react. We often, a lot of the work in practice, which we'll go more into in a day or two, we're observing the reactive mind, observing the mind that's not happy with how something is. It's wanting to make it different. So the task for awareness then becomes, can I be with this? Can I be with the reactive mind? So okay, so the enemy, the near enemy, if you like, of vigor, which sounds quite strong, doesn't it, or virya, is restlessness. So we get distracted from a deeper path, and we can't settle down. We're always wanting to do something, wanting to be on the go. Sometimes doing anything is better than simply staying with what's happening. So in a way, you can see that restlessness as another way of slipping into indulging. Indulging in, not just being able to be present to what's happening. Rushing around mentally. So this quality of energy in pursuit of the good, it's a steady persistence. And I think this is helpful because it perhaps gives us a truer sense of what's meant with the four right efforts. Steadiness, persistence. The word that's used in the Satipatthana Sutta, the section of the definition which I think correlates with energy in pursuit of the good is atapi, or diligence, or being ardent. Joseph Goldstein talks about ardency, but I'm not sure if I think that might be American English rather than English or British English. So the mind that's ardent or diligent. But there are similar, even though these words all sound quite strong, there's similar translations of patience, patiently persisting, steadiness with our perseverance. So not giving up, not having a big sort of push and then getting really tired and having a little rest. Again, Joseph Goldstein says something like, we need to drop in a tiny bit of effort to keep awareness going. He says, not even every breath, but in his lovely New York accent, every half breath, something like that. Yeah, just really frequently, just in a way, just keeping present. How much energy does it take to be present? Not very much. And actually what this keeping going energy does is it gives us a continuity, allows for there to be a continuity of awareness. If we throw a lot of energy in, say, to our meditation, we do get tired. But actually, meditation refreshes the mind. So you might notice when you go on retreat that after a while you need less sleep. There's less stimulation, but also the mind has, in a way, has started refreshing itself through the practice. And it's the same with awareness. If we're able to be more consistently aware, then after the end of a day of practice, at some point we can look to feel more invigorated or energized rather than tired at the end of a day's practice. So it can say a lot about the effort that we use, how we feel at the end of a day's practice. So Bhante says, a consistent practice of mindfulness outside of meditation will do far more to overcome hindrances in meditation than anything we do once we're in meditation. So being able to take that continuity of awareness and keep that helping keep on the middle way, actually. It will really help us not fall into indulging, suppressing some degree of reactivity if we're able to keep present and keep aware. So I want to do a little exercise. We're running a little bit short of time, but just maybe put your hands just so your palms are touching and your fingers. And you can, if you like, you can make and break that contact a little bit. Just parts of your fingers, parts of your palms, thumb. And notice what happens when you become aware of those sensations, the palms and fingers touching. So your attention might not be there all the time, because it might go elsewhere. How much energy does it take to be aware of those sensations? What do you think?
Not very much.
Not very much? Anybody else?
A lot.
A lot? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What is it that...
I'm feeling into the energy of the heat between the fingers before it touches, and rather than just waiting for to make the contact, moving into the space of the flow, the transitoriness of the whole action.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of concentration and feeling into it.
Okay. So how about you, in a way, let that sort of back off from that concentration? You may still be able to notice the same energy. Mm. I can feel without my fingers touching, I can feel an energy between my hands while I'm talking to you. Can you feel that?
Yeah.
There's
a shift between knowing that you're making and applying the concentration. It's about exerting an effort onto an object.
Yeah.
And then releasing the conceptuality of the construct of actually doing something, as in just...
Okay, so I'm not asking you to do any of that, just asking you to notice the the effort required to simply know, in a very simple way, know those sensations. We can hone down, we can put more effort in, but actually to just know those sensations in quite a simple way takes very little, takes very little energy. In fact, I would say it just takes us being present to what's happening.
Sort of just takes the intention to.
Yes.
Sort of like,
Yeah. If the intention is there to be present to the sensations.
Yeah.
So maybe play around with that in meditation with the quality of energy or effort that you're using. And we want to use just enough to maintain awareness. And what's more important is, in a way, is that every half breath, that continuity of moments, the more moments where we can have that quality of awareness, they'll start to, it's like joining dots, they'll start to join together. You have more periods where you're simply present to what's happening in a very effortless way.
In a way, awareness is there all the time, and it's just a shift, isn't it, of consciousness into just tapping into it somehow.
Yeah.
It's sort of knowing that, you know, there's the faith that actually it's a quality we have already, and it's just a question of shifting into it somehow.
Yeah, so that intentional, that presence, enlivens us to it. So I have a little story here, which you may know if you've read what Bhante says about virya, but I hadn't come across it before. It's quite sweet. He's talking about the importance of maintaining momentum in practice. And in Bhante's fairly sort of vigorous way, he talks about not stagnating or backsliding. So he's talking about a squirrel on the banks of the Indra River in India. And this squirrel is using its tail. I think someone must come along. Maybe someone comes along and noticing that the squirrel wanting to get across the river, and he's using his tail to sort of flick out water. He's dipping it in the water and sort of flicking out the water onto the bank. This is a big river. This is a very, very big river. So someone questions his intention. What are you doing? You know, you'll be dead long before you've got this much down. And the squirrel says, what's he say? He says, it's only a question of going on long enough. And this is the case. If we're just prepared to just keep going, it points to something really important. In practice, if we're looking for results, it all becomes much harder. If we're willing just to practice, just to keep going, in a way, if the practice is its own reward, that we let the results look after themselves. In a way that we can't make the results happen. The results will arise dependent upon causes and conditions. So if you like, it's the squirrel is demonstrating a faith in conditionality. If we're just willing to practice, to do what's necessary in the moment, then the results will look after themselves.
But has the squirrel ever seen another squirrel cross the river before using that method?
Who knows?
Because it's similar. You know, when you're saying about your compass facing in the right direction.
Yes.
I feel like the squirrel's compass is in the wrong direction.
Possibly so.
On a long tree, and he's going to be way off track.
Possibly so. You have to admire his spirit. Yeah, there may be some delusion.
Present to every swish of the tail. That's what he is.
Yes,
that's it.
That's enough. Yeah. Okay, so one last thing about energy in pursuit of the good. So another meaning, which I think Vishvapani has brought out in the past of atapi, is related to an Indian word tapas, not the Spanish tasty snacks. It's a word that means heat, and Vishvapani takes this into heart wish, so connected with warmth, the warmth of the heart. So maybe, I don't know how poetic this translation is, but I quite like it. So to me it points to emotional engagement. It's really important that we have a sense of interest in the practice, interest in awareness, or a sense of curiosity about what's being noticed, what's being known. And I don't know if any of you know anything about the Mindfulness in Schools project. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Mindfulness in Schools, I went to a couple of their conference days a few years ago, and they have a little module that's connected with David Attenborough. They talk about David Attenborough mind. And this is partly because he just corresponds, the way he engages with the natural world is the way of wonder, I tend to think of it. He's just curious about everything, even the most insignificant or ugly little grubs or whatever it is. It's like, wow, this is really interesting. So for me, he's quite, if we could bring a fraction of that sense of interest or engagement with watching our minds, with noticing what's happening in experience, it could take us a long way. It's quality of mind that doesn't know, rather than the quality of mind that's thinking, not another breath, it's just the same as the last one. The mind that's seen it all before, a slight can't be bothered mind quality. But instead it's like, open, new moment. And it's true, this moment has never been before. And having that freshness to how we engage. Because before you know it, it'll be gone. We've only got each moment as it happens to engage with.